Chapter 101. The Swiss consulate in Istanbul is located at 1 Levant Plaza in a sleek, ultra-modern skyscraper. The building's concave blue glass facade resembles a futuristic monolith along the skyline of the ancient metropolis. Nearly an hour had passed since Sinsky had left the cistern to set up a temporary command post in the consulate offices. The local news stations hummed with reports of the panicked stampede at the cistern's final performance of Liszt's Dante Symphony. No specifics had been reported yet, but the presence of an international medical team wearing hazmat suits had sparked wild speculation. Sinsky stared out the window at the lights of the city and felt utterly alone. Reflexively, she reached to her neck for her amulet necklace, but there was nothing to grasp. The broken talisman now lay on her desk in two fractured halves. The WHO director had just finished coordinating an array of emergency meetings to be held in Geneva in several hours. Specialists from various agencies were already en route, and Sinsky herself planned to fly there shortly to brief them. Mercifully, someone on the night staff had delivered a piping hot mug of authentic Turkish coffee, which Sinsky had quickly drained. A young man on the consulate staff peered in her open door. "Ma'am, Robert Langdon is here to see you."
"Thank you," she replied. "You can send him in."
20 minutes earlier, Langdon had contacted Sinsky by phone and explained that Sienna Brooks had eluded him, having stolen a boat and fled out to sea. Sinsky had already heard this news from the authorities, who were still searching the area, but so far had come up empty-handed. Now, as Langdon's tall frame materialized in the doorway, she barely recognized him. His suit was dirty, his dark hair tousled, and his eyes looked weary and sunken.
"Professor, are you okay?"
Sinsky stood up. Langdon gave her a tired smile. "I've had easier nights."
"Please," she said, motioning to a chair. "Have a seat."
"Zobrist's contagion," Langdon began without preamble as he sat down. "I think it may have been released a week ago." Sinsky gave a patient nod.
"Yes, we've come to the same conclusion. No symptoms have been reported yet, but we've isolated samples and are already gearing up for intensive testing. Unfortunately, it could take days or weeks to get a real grip on what this virus is and what it might do."
"It's a vector virus," Langdon said. Sinsky cocked her head in surprise, startled to hear that he even knew the term.
"I beg your pardon?"
"Zobrist created an airborne vector virus capable of modifying human DNA." Sinsky rose abruptly, knocking her chair over in the process.
"That's not even possible. What would ever make you claim such a thing?"
"Sienna," Langdon replied quietly. "She told me, half an hour ago." Sinsky leaned her hands on her desk and stared across at Langdon with sudden distrust.
"She didn't escape?"
"She certainly did," he replied. "She was free in a boat speeding out to sea, and she easily could have disappeared forever. But she thought better of it. She came back of her own volition. Sienna wants to help with this crisis." A harsh laugh escaped Sinsky's lips.
"Forgive me if I'm not inclined to trust Ms. Brooks, especially when she's making such a far-fetched claim."
"I believe her," Langdon said, his tone unwavering. "And if she claims that this is a vector virus, I think you'd better take her seriously." Sinsky suddenly felt exhausted, her mind struggling to analyze Langdon's words. She moved to the window and stared out.
"A DNA-altering viral vector?"
As improbable and horrifying as the prospect sounded, she had to admit there was an eerie logic to it. After all, Zobrist was a genetic engineer and knew firsthand that the smallest mutation in a single gene could have catastrophic effects on the body, cancers, organ failure, and blood disorders.